Greetings, everyone, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. My guest today is Dr. Lynn Cattai, the creator of the groundbreaking documentary The Phoenix Lights. Dr. Lynn is an internationally acclaimed physician and health educator who recently pushed aside her successful medical career to pursue The Phoenix Lights book and award-winning documentary. She was leading the cutting-edge era of early disease detection and prevention as chief clinical consultant at the world-renowned Arizona Heart Institute's Imaging Prevention Wellness Center in Phoenix, Arizona, until she came forward after 7 years of anonymity as a key witness to the still unexplained mass sightings throughout Arizona on March 13, 1997. She has been called the woman pioneer of medical communications in TV Guide after creating and producing innovative TV news health reports for NBC in Philadelphia in 1976. Since that time, Dr. Lynn has dedicated almost 30 years to global public awareness, wellness, and health education. She has appeared as the resident health reporter for NBC affiliates in Philadelphia and Phoenix, and has been featured on USA Cable, Fox TV News, ABC, CNN, and CBS affiliates, National Geographic TV, The Travel Channel, NBC Japan, and MSNBC. I could go on for another hour listing her accolades, so before we run out of time, let's welcome her live now. Hi, Dr. Lynn, how are you?
Hi, Lynn. Thanks so much for having me.
Really, it's my pleasure. I couldn't wait to have you on the show, because when I watched your documentary, I was absolutely, I would say, flabbergasted. It's courageous, it's well-documented, it's a moving film experience. I mean, it stands alone as film entertainment, if nothing else, and it's a documentary. I rented it at my local video store, and I just want everyone listening to rush out right now, and I rarely give this kind of endorsement, just rush out and rent it or purchase it. It's well worth the watch.
Oh, thank you so much. It's really been a labor of love.
I can imagine. Well, we're going to go into that, find out just how much it was. First of all, would you tell us a little bit about the Phoenix Lights, and what happened to bring you to the point of producing a film about it?
Absolutely. Actually, for me, just so that the listeners are familiar, if they're not familiar with the Phoenix Lights event itself, on March 13th, 1997, while thousands of people were purposely looking up at the sky at the Hale-Bopp comet, they also glimpsed a miraculous view of a mile to 2 mile wide. Some people saw lights that seemed to be attached to something or had a field between them, totally equidistant from each other in either a V formation, a triangle, a boomerang shape, an arrowhead shape. Some people actually saw a craft traverse slowly, about 30 miles an hour. Some saw it take off at a tremendous speed, incredible technology to be sure, whatever it was. Totally silent. That was what was so eerie to thousands of people that were purposely looking up at the sky. Whoever did this obviously wanted to be seen. And it happened for many, many hours. We're not sure to this day if it was a parade throughout the entire state of different objects or one object that could morph. But nonetheless, it was something so spectacular that it really affected thousands of people at a soul level. I mean, it's really fascinating just to listen to their in-time reactions and the follow-up of the profound transformation that's taken place for thousands here in Arizona. But for me personally, since you asked, this whole topic started for me. I had no interest or knowledge in the topic at all, nor did my husband, who's also a physician, until 2 years prior to the mass sighting. We had very close sighting to our home. We live mountainside in Paradise Valley, and for anybody that's been out there might be familiar with the mountains here. I mean, we're nestled, really in the mountain range, pretty high up, so we have a panoramic view of the city skyline, and we're very familiar with what pops up out there, planes and helicopters and streetlights and car lights and so forth. This is a gated community. There is no way, and I underline that, that it could have been military, and yet we witnessed three amber orbs about 50, 75 feet above a property right below us, the private property, that were hovering for minutes, if not longer, right in front of us. I mean, literally 100 yards from our home. And I happened to get pictures of it, didn't even know who to show them to, and because I knew no one who was interested in the topic. And lo and behold, 2 years later, the lights came back, but at a distance, 2 months before the mass sighting, found them so curious and awesome that I started documenting them again on film, and happened to catch, Lance, which is really profound and historic data, the same formation in the same location that I would catch on video during the mass sighting, one of the handful of signature videos of that event. But this was 2 months before, and I happened to catch six pictures in a row of this object head-on turning into a V-shape. It was so unnerving that the following morning I called around to try to find a logical explanation and contacted air traffic controllers at Sky Harbor International Airport, who saw the same thing at the same time, shared with me that it was in Class B restricted airspace. They looked with their high-powered binoculars, and in their own words, there were six points of light that seemed to be attached to something. So they couldn't see what it was attached to, moving slowly behind the mountain range there. And when I asked them what it was, and here are professional sky watchers, there was silence. And then finally the air traffic controller said, "Beats me." And, yeah, I mean, they had no idea. So yeah. When you're, you know, when you hear this misinformation, and this is 2 months before the mass sighting, and then I continued to take pictures and continued to communicate with them up until and including the mass sighting night where I caught the three lights above the city. Anybody that wants to see some of these pictures, there's a great photo page on my website, www.thephoenixlights.net. The collection that I was getting was really awesome. I didn't even know what to do with it, but I did call the air traffic controllers the morning after the mass sighting as well, and they shared the same information. They saw the same thing in the same location again, same phenomena, and the rest is kind of history, because the week after that, I found out it was happening worldwide, and even though I let my pictures out there, I remained anonymous for the next 7 years, doing a meticulous investigation, trying to find a logical explanation, and I've yet to find it. If anything, it opened up a whole new world to me that I ultimately felt obliged and to share, because my background is education for 30 years.
Well, you know, one thing that's really interesting about your film is that you can tell that the person who made it, number one, did it with a great deal of care and attention to detail, and is coming from a somewhat skeptical point of view. In other words, you don't push any agenda. It's not like you're trying to say, well, this is this and this is that. It's simply interviewing people, and they're speaking exactly about what they saw. And I also appreciated that you wove into it highly credible researchers who analyzed, and you might want have to explain how that works, but they analyzed the frequencies of both flares and the lights and came up with a spectrograph, and then you show that on the film. And to me, it was undisputed proof that those were not flares.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, just to interject a bit, firstly, I have to say I was a skeptic. I mean, I was really looking for a logical explanation. Pushed my entire professional life aside to do so, and went down to the University of Arizona Optical Science Department, Consciousness Study Department, Arizona State University, Astronomy, Mathematics, Geology, Anthropology Departments, Brooks Institute of Photography. And across the board, not only were the scientists and professors fascinated with my photographic data, but nobody could really analyze it. We don't have the technology yet to definitively define what these things are, but we can tell what they're not. And you had referenced a spectral analysis where the machinery that was being used at the time by Jim Dolatoso, who became one of the chief investigators here locally, was using the same, it was really classified machinery that he was using for other projects for NASA and so forth, and nobody knew, and that was something that was frustrating for all of us, because I, you know, until I did my own homework. I wasn't coming forward with this information. I didn't want to come forward, to tell you the truth. I stayed anonymous for 7 years and ended up with a 750-page journal that was just too compelling not to share. But in the meantime, nobody knew that there were 35-millimeter pictures that I took 2 months before the mass sighting and 2 years before the mass sighting that Jim Della Tosa was analyzing. The skeptics out there were in mass giving him much grief about analyzing videos, which you really can't analyze videos. But I had asked him to please remain anonymous, you know, keep me anonymous, as well as the pictures until we could try to figure out what they were. And he was kind enough to do that, for I will be forever grateful for that. But in the meantime, he got a lot of flack for that. So I was thrilled when I finally came forward, not only with the book, but certainly the documentary, where he goes into great detail exactly what he did to analyze the photographs. And also, as a backup, I took it down to the Optical Sciences Department at University of Arizona. Dr. Richard Powell, who was in the documentary as well, was then the head of the Optical Sciences Department, became the vice president of research. And he, too, I mean, he was flabbergasted and you know, really didn't have the technology to definitively define what these things are, but supported Jim's work as well as the Brooks Institute of Photography, Dr. Rand. So, you know, the bottom line that we can say with that is that, number one, we did all that we could possibly do to find out what these were and ended up finding out what they weren't. There is nothing that fits into this spectrum that these lights happen to produce, which are very similar, by the way, to the same lights that appeared in Mexico several years ago. Mexican Air Force caught them. Same lights that appeared in Fatima. I mean, we can go back in history, and that's another thing that was really mind-boggling to me personally, to find out that these phenomena have been occurring since human documentation started.
And, over thousands of years.
Yeah, and there are indigenous peoples right here in America, right here in Phoenix, that feel that these are spirit world, that there are ancestors coming to visit them, and others feel that they're sky people from other planets and other universes and dimensions, which it's part of their culture. We don't have any reference for it in our culture because we've been told for so long that it's not real, or it's a mirage, or that it's flares or balloons or whatever. The other thing, getting back to the flare issue, which is really important to note, and by the way, my book was a 750-page journal, and I squeezed it down to 220 pages, so there is much more information in there than I could ever put in the documentary. But
I'm going to have to read that.
And I hope people get a chance to read that, because I find a connection between all unexplained phenomena that have a mystical light associated with it. I call them UPS, because the experience is not only very similar between unexplained aerial phenomena, near-death experience, out-of-body experience, again, with a mystical light associated with it, but the after effect is so profound, the awakening, the enlightenment, that we're not alone in the universe. But getting back to the, and we can get into that if we have time, but the flare thing, you know, there was no investigation or explanation for a number of months. It was just bizarre. I mean, it was just bizarre. I mean, as far as the government and military were concerned, what happened? Did something happen on March 13th? And here, I mean, something spectacular occurred. Myself, I called every military base. They were more interested in seeing my documentation for it than giving an explanation. They had no idea. I mean, they were just as curious. And you know, conversations over and over again, which I put into the book. But in the meantime, suddenly there was a USA Today article that came out about June 18th. And this was months after the mass sighting, that opened the event up to international scrutiny. We were deluged by media from all over the world.
Wow.
And once they started talking to the witnesses, and I have to tell you, Lance, I mean, their stories were so heartfelt and detailed that the media as well, the international media, was saying, what's the story here? There's no investigation, no explanation.
Yeah.
Something really spectacular happened here. What's going on?
Yeah.
And suddenly, about a month later, July 24th, I get a call from the head of the PR at the Air National Guard, and she says, oh, Dr. Lynn, I think we know what those lights were back in March. And I was thrilled. I thought, oh, terrific, finally an answer. And she said, would you believe in 5 months nobody ever looked at the log for visiting Air National Guard, and the Maryland Air National Guard weren't sending off flares, so that must be what some people saw. And I was like in semi-shock because by then I had educated myself to what flares look like, and apparently wasn't what we saw. But I said, well, wait a minute. When was the Air National Guard in town? The Maryland Air National Guard, she says, March 1st to the 15th. I said, so they were not here in January? Nope, they weren't here in January. I said, because I had never told her what I documented. I said, well, I have the same information in the same location 2 months before the mass sighting that was confirmed by air traffic controllers at Sky Harbor International Airport the morning after. She said, you never told me that. Then I said, besides, you're telling me that flares that I had learned by then, you know, lumination flares that they were talking about, drift and drop, and they cannot stay in formation for minutes. I mean, they can't even stay in formation for 1 minute. And they have huge smoke trails that are illuminated by the flare itself. I said, you're telling me that flares kept the formation throughout the entire state for many, many hours? I have a call coming in. I'll get back to you.
I'm still waiting.
11 years later, I'm still waiting for that call. But at any rate, at that point, you know, it was still, okay, you know, flares, where did they get that one? But, hey, fine, if it's flares and the military did it, and I knew I had pictures not only 2 months before the mass sighting, but when we went back to the pictures from 95, and again, they're on my website, thephoenixlights.net, on the photo page, you can see in the background, while I was taking pictures of the closed orb, the same formation is there in the same location again. So I have documentation three times, at least, at that point, that shows clearly that whoever did this had done it three times. Well, fine. Then do it again. Reenact it.
And
I wasn't the only one. Many, many people asked for a reenactment. And finally, 1 week before the third anniversary, on March 7th, we get this announcement, headlines in the paper and on the news and radio, three Air National Guards were coming into town to send off flares to show everybody the Phoenix lights. Whether they thought we forgot what they looked like or wanted to confuse the issue or whatever, it was a major joke, I have to say. I mean, it was so unlike what we had witnessed and photographed. In fact, on the trailer and news page, there is an MSNBC report that is really poignant. When they sent off those flares, that really ticked off a lot of people, including myself, because it was...
I would think so.
I mean, what are they trying to do here? And I did do an MSNBC report as Dr. Lin, and it's a really great report because it shows really clearly. We compare the flare drop that night. They tried to make a triangle. It was upside down. It fell apart immediately. You could see the smoke, you know, huge smoke trails with the human
eye. In the movie, you show it, and it's clearly obvious, you know, the difference in the you just see that they're not the same thing. I mean,
people are still feeding into that. And I have to say, Lance, I mean, there's a couple other issues with the flare thing that, you know, I really have kept the lid on because I'm just, you know, I just want to get the, like you said at the top, I just want to get the information out there. The data speaks for itself. But there are still people, and I have to share this too. Look, everybody comes from a different background, a different upbringing, a different belief system, and there's going to take people longer. Look, it took me 7 years for it to really sink in. So I certainly can empathize with people that just can't deal with it or don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I mean, if it gives them comfort to feed into balloons or flares or whatever, that's fine. But if you really want to educate yourself and open up your mind and your heart to what's really happening, the data is there, especially in my book, I have to tell you, because in the book I tell, as the story unfolded, one of the things that happened, and I'm still getting emails, I cannot believe people are feeding into this still, but I can understand because it's been out there ad nauseum. There was a program on air shortly, I guess about a year after, called Anatomy of a Sighting, and it's shown on a number of major stations. But at any rate, it was a very good program, very well produced, but in the middle of it, they try to show the boomerang, formation, the huge boomerang formation. It's quite a riveting formation, I have to tell you, because it really does look rock solid in formation there. Be that as it may, that around 10 o'clock, a handful of us had taken video, and again, mine are the three lights over the city like a giant triangle that people were describing statewide for hours before, but and some after as well, from about 5 p.m. to about 2 a.m. But at any rate, there are several other videos. One was taken right before me, about 10, 20 minutes before me, Tom King's, who is just amazing. I mean, his is an arrowhead, and those lights are attached to something. The Kristen's boomerang video is also pretty riveting, but what they tried to show in this program, they took that video and said that they were analyzing it. Now, their analysis was to show a daytime shot of the same formation and with the mountains behind it to show that the lights were disappearing behind the mountains, so that meant that they were flares. Well, number one, the air traffic controllers had told me personally the morning after the January 97 sighting that they saw this formation of lights, this equidistant formation of lights that seemed to be attached to something, slowly move behind the mountains. So just because it went behind the mountains doesn't mean it's flares, okay?
Right.
Because the Barry Goldwater range is quite a distance behind those mountains. So, you know, they made the case that it was flares because it went behind the mountains. It must be over the Barry Goldwater range, which, again, doesn't mean they're flares anyway, but they, when after that show aired, Mike Kristen, who actually took that footage, was just irate and went to a local TV station here and he said, look at my footage. There is one lone light that is separate from that big array, boomerang array, that's on the right side of a tree on his property.
Huh.
If you look at the original footage.
Uh-huh.
In the program, which, by the way, they showed over and over and over again. And in the show itself, they keep saying the lights conform to the mountains, so they're flares. The lights conform to the mountains, so they're flares. Over and over and over again. If you look at the program, that one lone light is either absent altogether or on the left side of that tree on the Kristen property, which means, in essence, that they altered the video. So those lights would conform to the mountain range. Now, again, you know, the data speaks for itself. Don't take my word for it. Look at the program. Look at the original footage.
Yeah.
It speaks for itself. And I have to tell you, to this day, I am still getting emails from people who are feeding into that, whether they're looking for a logical explanation or whatever. But they really, you know, made the case so impressive. And they've shown it so many times that a lot of people fell into that story. So I just wanted to share that because that's another little tidbit that, you know, when you know the true facts. And this TV program, not only did they air this discussion, but the cameraman also went to the Kristen property, shot exactly where Mike Kristen had shot his original footage, and those lights were shown to be in front of the mountain, which meant that they were on top of Phoenix, and which flares would not be dropped on top of Phoenix. So, at any rate, I just wanted to add that little aside for you.
I think I heard somewhere that more than 10,000 people during this course of time.
Yeah, I think that it's probably more.
More than that actually saw the lights. That's a massive amount of people. Now, they all seem to describe the same object. Did it seem like it was, how far away would it have been from them, and did they say that it was looked like a solid object with lights surrounding it?
That's good questions, Lance. I have to tell you, like I mentioned previously, we're not sure if it was one object that could morph or from your perspective if it changed shapes a little bit, because some people described it as a boomerang, some people arrowhead, some people a V-shape, some people saw three lights, some people saw five lights, some people, in fact, the second picture in my series of six that I have posted from the 2 months before sighting, before the mass sighting, the second picture shows exactly what most people were describing statewide, five lights in a row or in a V-shape with two trailing. And this was 2 months before the mass sighting.
Wow.
That's what most people described. We have a 911 Phoenix operator, police operator that just came forward that we added to this new version that was just released, who said most people described the lights that seemed to be attached to something. But there were a number of people that saw craft.
Yes.
So, again, if this thing could morph into a craft or just the orb that seemed to be attached to something, or was it different objects, I don't know if we'll ever find out. But the fact is that there were such consistencies in the descriptions, statewide. And we're talking along the most populated corridor of Arizona. Again, whoever did this wanted to be seen, and you asked how close. I mean, there were people that said it was so close to them, they could have thrown a stone at it.
Wow.
It was that low.
Wow.
So when you hear that, and the miraculous feeling that people felt, the awe, nobody was scared. That was the other thing. We go into the documentary with the whole Hollywood thing and how we've been so ingrained with the prospect that aliens are threats. And almost every movie, I mean, there's only, you know, maybe three movies out there that don't do that, as far as, Close Encounters and E.T., that give a more benevolent slant to this. And, of course, you know, we're dealing with Hollywood, and they want to sell tickets. But on the other side, like Independence Day movie,
So
6 months before the mass sighting.
Yeah.
So children, who, by the way, were usually the first ones to see it and alerted their parents to it coming towards them, which is interesting in itself, were scared. A number of them were frightened because of Independence Day movies.
Oh, yeah.
And it had shown 6 months before, and they were jumping up and down, Independence Day, Independence Day. But as it got closer, and this is so important to note because, you know, again, the facts speak for themselves. In real time, not only for parents, but also for the children, a calmness came over everyone.
Oh.
And a feeling of awe. Of a miracle that they were seeing.
Uh-huh.
And as it passed, the kids actually asked their parents to get in the car and chase it. I mean, they were so fascinated, and it was just a total 180 from when they first saw it because of the mindset that so many people have of fear. And I'm not saying that everything out there is benevolent, but when you look at the data again, in over 11 years, Lance, there has not been one report, and we certainly have enough researchers here, that somebody would have heard something. One report of harm, threat, or abduction associated with the Phoenix Lights event.
So there have been no reports of abductions in the area that would...
Not associated with the Phoenix Lights event.
Cool.
They're actually Dr. Ruth Hover, who's in the documentary. She is such a kind, wonderful soul, and she... runs for many, many years. She has been running a contact abduction group out in Fountain Hills, and she certainly would have heard if there was any of that. And there, you know, previous to the mass sighting, there were people that thought they were abducted. But there has not been one report of threat, harm, or abduction associated with the Phoenix Lights event. And, you know, now there's a couple movies coming out. I think one's already out that, you know, talk about abduction and all this. I mean, it's very sad because I've taken great lengths to let people know that what happened here was just a visitation of whoever did this. And I don't know who did it. Right? To this day, I don't know who did it. But I know, you know, I don't know what they were, but I know that they are. And whoever did this, besides wanting to be seen and alerting us to their presence, and doing this worldwide for the same reason, is doing it in a gentle, caring way to wake us up to the fact that we're not alone. And also, as you learned in the documentary and we talk about in the book, to the very profound message that all unexplained phenomena, near-death experience as well, people come back with the same message to wake up to what we're doing to ourselves and our planet before it's too late.
Well, you know what's so funny is that we're so worried about, you know, some alien entities doing something bad to us, which we don't have any evidence for whatsoever. And here we are killing our fellow man in Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan, and, you know, there's practical genocide in Africa with starvation. You know, we do it to ourselves.
Exactly.
We don't need any extraterrestrials. If anything, we could use a little help in learning how to modify our behavior here.
Right, and you know, people ask, well, why haven't they visited us? Well, besides the fact that many in the ufology realm feel that they're here already.
Yeah, exactly.
And that there are many different groups.
Many different.
And that, you know, it's time we wake up to that fact. It's not, is it real? It's definitely real.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
Let's find out who's driving these things.
Yeah.
And why. But most feel that they're observing and that they're, you know, that they want us to go in our own destiny, and you know, it's kind of a hands-off type of thing. But a lot of other people hope that they, like you, hope that they help us.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly,
we need a lot of help.
If they had any negative intent, even just with the sightings that everybody in Phoenix had, they could have easily, it seems,
exactly.
That kind of technology have destroyed the planet
that
they
wanted.
Oh,
are you kidding? Oh, my goodness. I mean, if they, you know, obviously they're much more sophisticated technologically than we are.
Yeah,
and, you know, if they wanted to, obviously they could have taken over a long time ago. And,
absolutely.
And when you really delve into the history of all this and see that they've been here for millennia, you know, you wonder, I mean, who are they? I mean, are they interdimensional? Are they time travelers? Are they us? A part of us? You know, who knows? But, and hopefully we'll find out in our lifetime. But, but at any rate, they are obviously not here to harm us, at least the ones that we've been seeing here in Arizona. And the same phenomena are happening worldwide. I mean, they just had the sightings in Texas, in Stephenville, Texas, talk about recent, you know, sightings that are very similar.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, they're showing up at a faster pace worldwide. So something is definitely afoot. Something's happening. And you know, talk about history in the making at this point. You know, when I first came forward, I mean, I stayed anonymous, not only because of the controversial topic, but, you know, for fear of risking my entire professional life.
Right.
I had gone back to work as the chief clinical consultant at the Arizona Heart Institute Wellness and Imaging Center to help put our younger son through that medical school, and was really fearful, you know, once I came forward in 04, what the reaction was going to be with my peers and so forth. And I have to say, I've been very blessed. People really appreciate the work that's gone into this. And the mindset is changing, particularly in the last couple years.
Uh-huh.
The media here locally, I used to do reporting, you had mentioned, I used to do reporting for NBC here in the early 80s. So
uh-huh.
The people that were just starting at the time are now news directors and producers at other stations. And so when I came forward, and they used to call me Dr. X, Jim Delatoso coined the phrase Dr. X, because my pictures were out there, but I wasn't. But at any rate, when I did finally came forward, and they said, you're Dr. X, well, come on over, because they now, you know, they knew that I wasn't going to be doing this unless, you know, I really did my homework and was scientific about this, and they appreciated that. So the media here, it's really an example, a boilerplate for other places, because they are so open now to anyone that wants to report something unusual. There's no more of the ridicule and laughing and snickering that has been going on for so many decades. And,
yeah, that's so bad.
It's really changing. Something's going on. And disclosure is happening. And in my book, right from the beginning, you know, I even say, I mean, it's going to come from the people. Really a grassroots effort. So many people ask, why isn't the military and the government coming forward? You know what? They have a job to do. I've been told by many people that seem to be in the know that there are people above our elected government that are really in the power plays of all this, and God bless them. I mean, everybody has their own job to do and agenda. It doesn't matter anymore. The people are seeing things, and the people are educating themselves. And that's why I'm really glad that I did come forward, because it just gives one more piece of credible information that people can look at and learn and grow from, and if they choose to. And really understand that we're not alone in this universe.
Yeah,
and it's time we wake up to that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, if anything, your film and your book have actually shifted the whole field. I mean, it's just brought so much light and credibility to it. It's really amazing. Did you find in doing your interviews for the film that people had, once they opened up, that they had also seen these things at other times or had seen other things as well?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Even when I came forward initially, when I was at the Arizona Heart Institute, I couldn't believe the people that, you know, came into my office and said, "Dr. Lynn, I have to tell you, I saw this thing when I was, you know, 8 years old, and, you know, and I was at the beach in Atlanta, and blah, 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 whatever." Yeah. It was just unbelievable how many times, you know, and I'm a little hesitant in certain circumstances to share what I'm doing right now.
Right.
But once they find out what I'm doing, it never fails. There is somebody in the group that has seen something, experienced something that's real to them,
yeah,
and they've never talked about it. I've gotten thousands of emails since I came forward from people just thanking me, and boy, talk about, you know, feeling good about coming forward as a physician, because
yeah,
there's so much healing,
yeah, healing
here that needs to be
yeah
done for people that have experienced something that's so unusual, and they've been told that it's not real, that they're crazy,
mm-hmm,
that they're, you know, that they dreamt it up, or it was a mirage, and most things can be explained. Let me say that. Most things can be explained.
Well, I think we're really opening up to so many things, and, you know, it makes sense that humanity is not a stagnant thing. It's a living and evolving group, and, you know, at some point we will take a leap forward, and, you know, ready or not, we're right at the verge now where there's just a lot of things going wrong with the planet, and we really do need to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of, you know, whether or not we have outside help, we need to start taking responsibility for our own planet and start loving it, you know, and healing it, as you said.
Absolutely. We have so much positive potential that we have never even tapped into yet, and, you know, we're so lucky to live on this beautiful, beautiful planet with so many resources, natural resources, that we're just, you know, it's like an adolescent. It's just,
yeah,
you know, scribbling the walls and like a child. It's,
yeah, yeah,
digging up things and destroying things without thinking. And, you know, I think that's a big message here as well. So, you know, hopefully people will start waking up. You know, we're, As Dr. Edgar Mitchell has said over and over, I mean, we really are the stewards of this planet.
Yep.
And, you know, we're supposed to be intelligent life. Look
right
what we're doing here. So,
right,
you know, hopefully when people really become more and more open and knowledgeable about the fact that we are being visited, or they're here.
I think they're here.
Yeah, that more of our consciousness is raised, and we will evolve to the point where we can accept, I mean, look what we do to our own people. If you're a different color or different
tragic
religion or whatever, it's shameful.
It is.
Can you imagine, you know, and people say, well, why don't they land well or show themselves? You know, the fact that they might be here and we don't really even realize it is one part of it too. But on the other side, that's not going to happen until we really, I don't believe, until we're really open to it and, you know, won't freak out and won't panic.
Yeah, we need to get a handle on our fear and our violence. I mean, I can just see somebody whipping out a gun and shooting somebody.
Right.
Well, you
right
know, like, what was that movie with Michael Rennie, when the Earth,
right,
the day the Earth stood still?
Exactly. They've been showing that a lot lately, by the way, interestingly enough. But, you know, think about it. It took 17 centuries,
yes,
centuries before the advent of the microscope.
Wow.
For human beings to realize, and if 100 years before that, or even 50 years before that, somebody had said there are tiny little organisms that we can't see with our human eyes all around us, they would have been, you know, declared heretic. You know, but the fact is that after the microscope showed us that there are thousands, zillions of microorganisms, even in our bodies, in recent years, I mean, the last, you know, 20, 30 years, we've discovered that there are electromagnetic energies around every living cell, which has helped us develop wonderful technology such as the MRI, the magnetic resonance imaging machine, to detect disease non-invasively. Well, just because you can't see these tiny living organisms or electromagnetic energies or gamma rays or radio waves, whatever, doesn't mean they're not real.
That's right.
We may just be looking on the AM dial for an FM frequency.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's going to take us some time, just like with the microscope, to really have the technology to definitively define what these things are.
And
but again, doesn't mean they're not real.
Look at the leap that we're just about to make with the Super Hadron Collider over in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
17 miles, I think, of underground equipment. And
mm-hmm.
they're looking for the God particle. So,
mm-hmm.
we're taking another leap into the unknown. So, it seems like it behooves us to start opening our minds to the unknown, because it's going to be in front of our faces whether we like it or not.
Well, it is already, Lance. It is
yeah.
already, and
yeah.
even studies that are being done to prove that even prayer and
yeah.
how powerful our minds are
yeah.
to influence the energies that we can influence ourselves around us. And I've seen it certainly in medicine. I mean, that's a whole other discussion that I get into in the book.
Yeah.
How powerful we are as human beings to influence our own health, both positively and negatively, and those around us. Because
Absolutely.
There are energies that we produce, and again, that's a whole other, conversation,
yeah.
Within ourselves that can certainly influence those around us positively or negatively. So to me, thinking positive and getting into that realm will attract the positive.
Yes.
And you'll see the reverse is true. I mean, if you're a negative person, I bet you have some illnesses happening within your own body and probably, even with family members around you. And it's really amazing that now they're finally studying this at university level and showing quite vividly that it's true. And even
yeah.
prayer can influence things miles away. So it's so intriguing, and we're just starting
just
to tap
now,
into
yeah.
this positive potential that we have, and hopefully we can continue to do that and create some wonderful things.
Now, have the lights been seen since the major sighting? They have come back.
Good question. Again, if you go on my website, thephoenixlights.net, on the photo page, there were a number of other instances subsequently where I have photographed, and even in the documentary, we have several sightings that I put at the end of the film.
Uh-huh.
But just recently, and that's like a whole other discussion as well. we could spend an hour on that.
We'll have to have you back.
I would love to.
Good.
There was a sighting here. Now listen to this one. I mean, I have to say that's the other thing. I have no longer belief in coincidence. There are no coincidences
there are
in my mind, because and again, I start out as a skeptic here,
yeah.
but there are so many things, and even the pictures and the sightings that I had that I photographed that are on my website, things were happening at that time that were just too serendipitous, including this. The latest sighting here on April 21st was very intriguing because, whether the military was prepared for something, because I did a radio program the next morning, first thing in the morning, and there were callers that called in to say they saw the same lights the night before, which is very important information.
Uh-huh.
Hours after, this really was giant news. I mean, I walked in, and this shows you just the connection that we have now with the media that's so wonderful. I walked in from the X conference in Washington, D.C., that was held that the weekend before, and the phone was ringing that Monday evening, 8 o'clock, April 21st, and it was the CNN affiliate producer saying, "Dr. Lynn, do you see the lights out there?" I mean, as it was happening, it was just fabulous. And we, again, were nestled in a mountain range, so other than the fourth wall that we see the city skyline, we are obstructed from that particular view in the Northwest Valley. I said, "But let me call my medical practice office manager. She lives out there," which I did, and she got in her car immediately and went out there and calls me back and said, "Dr. Lynn, I don't see any lights, but I see lots of helicopters more than I've ever seen. So there was definitely something going on out there. Shortly after that, air traffic controllers at Deer Valley Airport, where it was quite near to, reported that they could not identify it, nor could air traffic controllers at Sky Harbor Airport. What they were seeing were, if you look at the video, and there's a couple different videos. A couple aren't as good, but there's one video that's really great out there that shows four points of light that are equidistant from each other in a straight line, and then they turn into a square, and then they turn into a kind of a V with one trailing, and which is pretty amazing to see, I'm sure,
yeah,
for the people that were describing it. And on Tuesday morning, I started getting calls. I don't even want to tell you. It was just overwhelming, not only from radio programs and TV stations, and I was running around all day to different TV stations talking about this, but I also got a call from Fox in the morning with Mike and Juliet, and we actually have that segment on the website under trailer and news, if anybody wants to take a peek at that. It was really a great. They flew me overnight to New York for that.
Wow.
But by the afternoon, and I was in the middle of doing an interview for Good Morning America and Nightline, when we got a call that, this was about 4:30 in the afternoon the next day, that a neighbor of a fella down the street said that he saw actually send up balloons tied to flares. 2 minutes, two at a time.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it was. And this guy, I have to tell you, I didn't know this right away, but somebody emailed me that this guy looked military.
Okay.
He had a really short haircut, and if you look at his interview, he looks military. But be that as it may, when the news people, and again, I'm real connected with them now, went to this guy's house, not only were there only children there, and supposedly he was sending them off with his children, they knew nothing about it, or they said they knew nothing about it. But when they finally, you know, tied this guy down, not only would he not reenact it, but his story was different. He said that he was sending these balloons with flares 1 minute at a time. Well, you know, from all the emails that I did receive after, the people that work with pyrotechs, and some of them are in dance companies that do these kinds of things. First of all, they said it is so expensive to do this, number one. Number two, one person could not do what he said he did, that it takes a whole team of people to do what he said he did. And third of all, that, you know, for him to be sending them off 1 minute after each other, and then for them to form a perfect line, and then a square, and then a triangle, is pretty miraculous. Okay, so there's a lot of holes in the story. Plus the fact that initially the next day the fire department was really up in arms because we have had no rain here since February. And the humidity at the time was 4%. So they were really irate that anybody would do anything like this in the dry desert. Well, the guy's never gotten in trouble, nor has he reenacted it. And he's been asked a number of times. So, you know, there's a lot of holes in that story. So that was the latest sighting. What made it really amazing for me, and talk about the coincidence situation.
Uh-huh.
Are you ready?
Okay.
The documentary that you rented.
Yes.
Okay. I really held out for theatrical for over a year. They had contacted me, Vanguard Cinema had contacted me last year, and it's such a great, amazing situation in a theater setting. I was really trying to hold out for that, but they're just not ready yet, and I wanted to get the information out. So I finally conceded, and I have to tell you that the CEO really kept on me, and he's very passionate about the project, which is music to my ears. And we decided several months ago, or he decided, when it would be released. Well, the release date, where it was on the shelves at, you know, Hollywood Video and Blockbuster, et cetera, et cetera. April 22nd, the next morning.
Whoa.
So for me, the last sighting was a gift.
Wow.
Whoever did it.
How funny.
Is that amazing?
Amazing.
Amazing. It was flying off the shelves. So,
absolutely.
You know, for me, it was unbelievable because we got so much press and so much attention about the Phoenix Lights. You know, of course, mixed in with that, there are people, the hard-nosed skeptics in the bunkers that, you know, right away say, oh, that's what the original Phoenix Lights was. It was balloons. you know.
Uh-huh.
But at any rate, to this day, it's still unexplained.
Well, you know, it seems that the government and the military is really doing itself a disservice by trying to show that, by trying to debunk it, because they're just really, it seems like, what are they hiding?
Well, it's looking pretty silly.
Yeah, you know,
I have to say.
Looking very silly.
Yeah, I mean, you're making a really good point, because, you know, if you look at the Larry King show recently, and
yeah.
even the Dateline NBC show, we have that that segment, because they did the top 10 UFO sightings of all time, and the Phoenix Lights ended up number one.
I would think
really
so,
proud.
Yes, absolutely.
And we have that segment on the homepage on thephoenixlights.net. But at any rate, they, you know, throughout the show did have skeptics, and they feel that it's important to do that for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And they're beginning to look really silly. I mean,
yeah.
it's gotten to the point where, you know, in the past, people that came forward to say they saw a UFO were the ones that were laughed at. Well, I think at this point, if you really look at the silly reasons and
the shoes on the other foot,
they're the ones that look silly.
Yeah.
The ones that are laughed at now by many people.
I think, you know, that we've matured quite a bit. And, you know, they keep throwing that report from decades ago that if we, you know, I can't remember the name of it, but supposedly the think tank did a report that, you know, if we were given this information that we'd all freak out and people would jump out of windows and all that. Well, you know what? I really don't think that would be the case. And if any, in any case, can't we be allowed to have the truth? And if there is an interstellar communication going on, and obviously it's been going on for thousands of years, wouldn't we want to be curious about it and find out who our family out there in the universe and galaxy is?
Absolutely.
I mean, I'd love to find out, you know. I wish they could just land all over the place and come out to and speak to us. But, you know, I guess we have to be prepared for it. But
Well, that's absolutely true. When they first started, you know, we have to remember when Roswell happened, 60 years ago, we were still in a, you know, we had just finished the war, we were in a Cold War, people were still in a panic mode, and I'm sure at that point, you know, for everyone concerned, and J. Allen Hynek, who, by the way, was the head of the Project Blue Book, which was the only public, announced public study of UFOs at the time. And he was plucked from the head of astronomy at Northwestern to head that project.
Yeah.
And he actually coined the phrase close encounters, by the way, and worked with Spielberg on the movie. But what was really interesting is that even though he, you know, would say that this it was swamp gas, it was balloons or whatever, after 4 years after Project Blue Book closed, with the announcement,
uh-huh.
that UFOs are not a threat to national security. Now, why did they even make that announcement? Unless they knew something.
Exactly.
Okay. But
exactly.
besides that, he came for. Not only did he form the UFO Center in Chicago. Okay, to study UFOs. And if there weren't any UFOs, why did he do that?
Right.
But right before he passed on in the 80s, I believe, he made the announcement that, you know, he was told at the time not to scare people, not to panic people, that that any UFO sightings that could easily be explained away were to be put, you know, to the public and the media, and those that were unexplained were tucked away somewhere. You know, at the time, it was a different mindset in our civilization.
It was.
We, you know, the last 60 years, we've been almost spoon-fed, even though a lot of it's misinformation and disinformation, the fact that, you know, we might be visited, and now with technology and with people, with the raising awareness that people have, and a lot of people here look up in the sky and keep their cameras handy, which is wonderful, and a lot of them are catching glimpses of things and documenting them.
If you can see through the chemtrails.
that too, but It's happening at a faster pace.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
are aware of it, and it seems that the beings are aware that we're aware of it
and are
stepping up their sightings. So that as more and more people see these things themselves, it makes a big impression.
Yeah,
it makes
absolutely.
A bigger impression than somebody telling you about it. So, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time, but I think, and who knows? I mean, some people are talking that, you know, a big event is going to happen soon because people are ready.
I think it might be, you know. You know, we're almost out of time. I wanted to find out, are you going to be, what's next on the list for you? Are you going to be doing another movie?
Well, I have to tell you, this is taking so much time. I mean, I've given up my medical career now. Actually, I left the Arizona Heart Institute. That's what, it really tweaked me when I first came out with the book and I started doing lectures at Barnes & Noble and so forth, which I continue to do worldwide.
Wonderful.
You know, I did a presentation for a middle school. I was asked by parents to present, which was like a first. And they were at the edge of their chairs. I mean, young people is my passion for 30 years. I didn't even mention that. But my passion for 30 years, and I've dedicated my own heart and pocket to produce video and workbook curriculums on the reality of vital health issues like AIDS, teen pregnancy, and substance abuse that are being distributed currently by Discovery Education. When this fell in my lap, and certainly when I presented at the middle school and was deciding whether to do the documentary and ended up leaving the Arizona Heart Institute to finish it, they were at the edge of their chairs. I mean, they thirst for this knowledge, and I realize there's a chunk of history missing from our history books, and I hope with the book and the documentary, just as with these sightings, touching one person at a time in a gentle, caring way to wake them up, inform, is what I'm doing now. That's my life's work.
I think that your film should be shown in schools all over the country.
Oh, that is my dream.
I really do.
That is my dream.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that is my dream. And a lot of schools are doing it, actually. Teachers are get emails all the time, taking it upon themselves, and they, if there's teachers out there that are interested, let me know, because I've been doing all kinds of, phone conferences after the film. I just did one at University of Connecticut, another one in Vermont, all over the United States, so that, you know, we can chat about it afterwards. I love to hear from young people, and certainly that's my dream, is to get this project into the schools and into the hearts and the minds of people out there so we prepare.
Wonderful.
For what's ahead. And I really appreciate you letting me share it.
Prepare your listeners.
I'd
love to have you back, because I really get your passion and the intelligence and heart that comes from you. The film is a wonderful film, and it's called The Phoenix Lights. It's a documentary. And would you let people know how to reach you and
Absolutely.
Where your website is?
You can get on my website, www.thephoenixlights, one word, plural, thephoenixlights.net. The book and documentary are available there and on Amazon.com. And certainly the documentary is available for rental in most stores now. So,
and that's where I got it, at my local video store, and I'm telling you, just run out and rent it, because it is such
you.
A wonderful film.
Thank you. And there's bonus features. We were talking about that
those
before.
Those are, you know, the bonus features are almost as good as the movie.
Thank you. Well, you know, there was a lot in the film that I couldn't keep in the film because it was running too long. So we kind of put them in the bonus features. So they.
You did a fantastic job on it, Dr.
Thank
Lynn.
You so much.
I just want to thank you for being with us, and I want to have you back again soon.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
All right.
You take care now. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
And I look forward to hearing from your listeners. Thanks.
Oh, me too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.